Good morning. This morning I'm going to continue to talk about Genjo Koan, and we're doing lecture 7 of the Genjo Koan. Translation I'm using is Kaz Ta-Nehisi's. Genjo Koan is a text that Dogen wrote early on in his career as a teacher. And like many of his earlier texts, like Bendowa, he's interested in teaching us how to practice. So the paragraph we're talking about now is, firewood becomes ash, it does not become firewood again, yet do not suppose that the ash is after and the firewood before. Understand that firewood abides in its condition as firewood, which fully includes before and after, while it is, at the same time, independent of before and after. Ash resides in its condition as ash, which fully includes before and after. So this opening statement is what Dogen's going to talk about in the next paragraph, what he's going to clarify in the next paragraph. So, firewood, so he's talking about what's called a dharma position, a juhoi in Japanese, to abide in a dharma position. Everything that we can name abides in a dharma position. So firewood abides in the dharma position of firewood. And then, when firewood is burned, it is no longer firewood, it's called ash. And there's the dharma position of ash. And so he says, it does not become firewood again. And then he says, but don't suppose that this dharma position of ash is after, and that the firewood, the dharma position of firewood, is before. Understand that the dharma position of firewood abides within the condition of being firewood. So firewood is not concerned with ash, and ash is not concerned with firewood. Even though this completely includes both before and after. So it would include the tree, or that moment of being cut up into wood, and the fire moment of firewood, and the moment of ash, and whatever comes after that for the ash. So he's not saying that sequential time does not exist. Then he says, at the same time, it is independent of this before and after. So a dharma position has just that state of being the dharma position. And then he says, ash abides in its condition as ash, which fully includes before and after. So here's the next paragraph. He says, just as firewood does not become firewood again, as it is ash, or another way to say that is, just as firewood does not become firewood again, because it is now ash, you do not return to birth after death. So here, he's making a transition from talking about firewood and ash, which is always talking about our practice. He's always talking about our practice. Because, let's face it, we are not a piece of firewood. We are not ash. We are human beings. And this text is about our practice. So he says, just like firewood does not become firewood again, because it has now been burned and it is ash, you do not return to birth after death. So because we can only experience this moment, this dharma position, we can't go back and experience what was. Therefore, Dogen writes, you do not return to birth after death. He is not making a comment about rebirth. So that's not where Dogen's going. He's saying, right now, this dharma position is unique in of itself, and you cannot return to a different dharma position. So again, he's not denying sequential causes and conditions. He's making the point here how important it is to pay attention to the present moment. It won't come around again. This present moment is our practice. This present moment, whether it be firewood or ash, listening to this lecture, going to the grocery store, talking to your neighbor, whatever it is that you're doing in this moment, this is where your practice is going to happen, and this is where you have the opportunity to enact that practice. So then Dogen wrote, the next sentence is, this being so, what he's just said, this being so, is an established way in Buddha Dharma to deny that birth turns into death. So this state of 100%, as Shohaku Morik says, this state of completely presencing yourself, completely exhausting this moment, is an established way in Buddha Dharma. So what he's saying is this same idea about the Dharma position fully presenting itself. If you're focused on what is happening in your present moment, not on what you wish were happening, not on what you happened in the past, but just completely paying attention to the present moment, then it is just this moment's response in accord with whatever is happening at that time. So he says, we don't need to focus on birth becoming death, or death becoming birth. Furthermore, these delineated stages, birth and death, are concepts we create to describe essentially what is an arbitrary moment that we designate as a beginning point or an end point. So in actuality, the beginning is the end, and the end is the beginning, or the middle is the end, or the beginning is the end. So how we designate some things, arising or perishing, is from our own perspective and from our own limited view. For example, if we designate a child's birth as the day or time that the child emerges from the womb, that's when we say someone is born. But is this really the beginning of that child's life? Now, from a Buddhist perspective, we can answer this question by going back and back and back and back sequentially through time and being, genetics, genealogy. We can do a kind of sequential backing up that we know from science, generational, all of those things. Or the second way that we can look at this is we can look at it from a non-sequential causation. Everything is responsible. The whole world, all the whole universe, throughout time and space, is everything is causally related. The sun, the moon, rain, other people, situations, begetting other situations, all intervening throughout time and space. What is the beginning? What is the end? We can't say. So in this way, when we do say, it's a kind of convenience. It's a kind of way that we conceptualize the nature of our experience based on what we can see. But actually, it's bigger. There's more going on than what we just say as this being a beginning or an end or a birth and a death. So then Dogen wrote, this is why he said the next line, which is, accordingly, birth is understood as beyond birth. Accordingly, birth is understood as beyond birth. So this concept, or this particular moment as being designated, in this case, for Dogen, as birth, it is beyond birth. It is beyond this concept that we make up about it. We could also say this about practice. The beginning of practice, the middle of practice, the end of practice. Dogen says, you know, the beginning of practice includes the middle and the end. And this is why it includes the middle and the end. Because your practice doesn't come out of nothing. Your practice, your Buddha nature. Buddha nature is like the driver. This complete presencing as reality itself. Which is our home. I think is what causes us to say, yes, but how? How can we say that that has a beginning, a middle, and an end? On some level, we can say about practice, yes, I started practice here, I did this practice, I've sat zazen, I understood this, I've gotten this, But it goes on endlessly. It never stops. And then Dogen said, it is an unshakable teaching in Buddhist discourse that death does not turn into birth. Accordingly, death is understood as beyond death. It is an unshakable teaching in Buddhist discourse that death does not turn into birth. Accordingly, death is understood as beyond death. So this whole teaching is about not being able to discern where or when this all comes about. It is the teaching of no inherently existing things. We and all things are codependent arising. All of life is interbeing and presencing right now. So this is the unshakable teaching in Buddhist discourse that Dogen is referring to. Again, it's like the teaching of no inherently existing things, which we understanding as from the Prajnaparamita Heart Sutra, that we and all things codependently arise. That's why we say there's no birth and no death. All of life is interbeing and presencing right now. That's why we say everything is here right now in this moment. This is the unshakable teaching in Buddhist discourse that Dogen is referring to. And how we understand that, how we enact that teaching, plays out in many, many ways in our Buddhist practice. It manifests as compassion. It manifests as skillful means. It manifests as our bodhisattva vow. This is where the vow of the bodhisattva to benefit all beings comes from. The next line Dogen says, birth is a condition complete in this moment. Or complete this moment. Birth is a condition complete this moment. Death is a condition complete this moment. So now he's talking specifically again about Dharma position. He's saying birth is just the moment called birth. Death is just the moment or the Dharma position called death or called this moment. So when you experience the state or the Dharma position that you're calling birth or you're calling a beginning, the actual experience of it, of your experience of it, is just this moment that you are experiencing before you label it birth or death, a beginning, a middle, or an end. We say that when you relate to people who have a kind of terminal illness, we become frightened because we already think of them as dead. But they are not dead. They are completely and totally alive. And it is only the concept and the fear of death that gets in the way of us relating to that person as completely alive in this moment, because that person's reality is about this moment, not about some other moment. And that's true for all of us. It's our concepts that get in the way of this. So if you're fully engaged in your activity and you're not labeling it this or that, you are engaged in listening with your whole body and mind and responding appropriately to what is needed. There's a really wonderful image in Tibetan Buddhism of a mountain. I have a picture of a tonka of this in my office. Of a mountain, and in the center of the mountain is Milarepa. And Milarepa, who was a well-known Tibetan, I call him a bodhisattva. The picture is Milarepa is like this. He's sitting in the center of the mountain with his hand like this around his ear, like Avalokiteshvara listening to the cries of the world. There is a part of us that sits in the middle of our heart, just as Milarepa sits in the center of this mountain, and we are listening. We are listening. So that's what we want to do in each moment. We want to be like Milarepa, like Avalokiteshvara, as much as we can, and listen to what is actually happening around us, listening with your whole body and responding from that listening. Furthermore, the teaching that Dogen is presenting is that you can only experience a moment as this moment. The past is a memory that you're having in the present, and the future is a thought that you're having in this moment. So you can't live anywhere else but in the present moment. Naming an experience can only happen after the experience has happened. It may be a millisecond between the time that we have that experience and we name it, but we have to have the experience before we can give it a label. So part of our practice is a willingness to be labelless in this moment, to really presence ourselves for the moment before we characterize how this moment is or what we think of it. So naming an experience can only happen after the experience is passed. While you're having the experience, you're just immersed, completely immersed in that experience. So the next line in the text is, they are like winter and spring. He's talking now about birth and death. He says, they are like winter and spring. You do not call winter the beginning of spring, nor summer the end of spring. Now, I have to admit that this line has perplexed me over the years, just because, well, actually, that's exactly what we do do. But what is Dogen saying here about this? I think what he's saying is we don't say when we are experiencing winter, it's the beginning of spring. We say winter because what we are experiencing is winter. We don't say when we are experiencing summer, this is the end of spring. There's something backward about that. We might say, wow, it's cold. During the winter, we might say, wow, it's cold. I'm really looking forward to the spring. Or in the summer, we might say, it's really hot. I wish it were still spring. But while we are in winter, we are completely in winter. And while we are in the summer, we are completely in the summer. We can't be anywhere else. And then the next question that I have about this is the last line of this paragraph, the one I just read. I think here's the big question. Why is this important? Why is Dogen writing this about firewood and ash and birth and death and spring and summer? And I would say it's because the present moment, and this is what Dogen teaches, the present moment is the only moment you can fully experience. And it is the moment in which we enact realization through our practice or actions. It is the being time of realized response or liberation. The only being time, the only moment that you can experience liberation is the present moment. Not in the future, not in the past, but just this moment. So this is why Dogen said, about firewood and ash, about these Dharma positions, he said it is independent of before and after. Our practice in some way has to be independent of before and after. Because when we are independent of before and after, we're not caught by before and after. We're not caught by our ideas, our karma, these psychological traps and snares. That's when we have this moment of being able to completely respond to what's happening. And this is liberation. This is the only place that liberation can happen, is when we can free ourselves in this moment. Dogen wrote in the Shobogenzo, in a fascicle called Daigo, Great Enlightenment, he wrote, the present time under consideration is each individual's realized now. You can't experience a frog's realize now. You can't experience someone else's realize now. But you know that that is included in your realize now. So he wrote, the present time under consideration is each individual's realize now. So as practitioners, that's what's under consideration. And then he said, even though it makes you think of past, present, and future, and tens of thousands of other times, even though this realized now makes you think of past, present, and future in tens of thousands of other times. They are the present time, the realized now. A person's duty always lies in the present. It's interesting, this word duty that he's bringing up. A person's duty always lies in the present. So this realized now is all you have. And from a practice standpoint, realization can only be enacted right now. And this is our duty. This is where I think he is saying duty, in the sense of this is our bodhisattva vow. As he said earlier, it is the self actualized through itself, actualized by myriad beings. And when he says actualized through itself, it's because ourselves include the totality of all beings simultaneously. It's not like your selfish self is realized. It's like this self that includes the totality of all of reality, meeting those myriad things, hearing in the center of that mountain and responding. This is the bodhisattva vow. This is the moment the self and all beings actualize, this moment as practice realization. So here he says, don't forget to practice all the time. And by the way, this doesn't have to be some kind of horrible, you know, onus, beat yourself up, dragging yourself through the crawl. What is it? I can't remember the name of the poet, the woman who said, you know, you don't have to crawl across the desert on your hands and knees. Practice is not about that. But it is about an awareness. It is about being aware and making effort. So try to remember to stay present when you're remembering something from that past that causes you to resist that moment's enactment. When you feel that resistance come up, try to come back to the present moment. Try to come back to what's actually happening. Even though it includes that moment of resistance, try to come back and free yourself. So this moment may be waking up to why you are resistant and then deciding what you want to do. The moment may be going beyond this moment's traps and snares, or seeing traps and snares for the first time. This moment is your daily life. It is really all that we have. There's no other place where our realization will be enacted, and no other place that needs it more than right now. This is the duty of the practitioner. We vow to make our best effort now, in each moment, now. Dogen quotes Zhuo Dao in the Tenzo Kyokun, which means instructions to the cook. Zhuo Dao said, "The dragon's jewels are found in every wave. Looking for the moon, it is here in this wave and the next. If you're looking for the moon somewhere outside this present moment," he says, "no, the dragon's jewels are in every wave. Looking for the moon, it is here in this wave and the next, reflected on the full moon night coming into the shore. Wave, each moment, each wave comes in fully, reflecting the totality of the moon." So if we're lucky, these liberated moments come out one after another like waves hitting the shore. So we're given an opportunity after opportunity to meet each moment, which is really great, because when we flub something up, there's the next moment and the next moment and the next moment. So at the same time, let's not squander that. Let's be as present as we can in each moment. That's one of the reasons we practice Zazen, is because we're practicing coming back to this moment and this moment and this moment. So each realized now is driving your car, eating dinner, meeting a stranger, all the various ways that you interbe with your life, your environment, the people, animals, insects, viruses, water, air, drivers, shoes, all the 10,000 things. think that's what Dogen's trying to say in this paragraph. Thank you very much.